Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Eric Joske with the J.P. Morgan Healthcare team. I'm pleased to introduce our next speaker, Todd Pope, President and CEO of TransEnterix. And just a reminder, the breakout session after this for Q&A will be held in the Olympic Room at 1:30. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric, and welcome, everybody, today, and certainly those that are joining us on the webcast. We're looking forward to talking to you today about TransEnterix. We're a robotic surgery company and our platform, Senhance. Our forward-looking statements here. This first slide, we'd like to talk about because it's really a depiction of our system, the Senhance. As you see the surgeon there, the surgical arms around the patient. But if you look in the left-hand corner from the surgeon in the console, it really talks about a lot of the technology that exists today already. Surgical supplies are being managed within the hospital. X-ray and diagnostic imaging is being used each and every day in procedures. RFID, Wi-Fi, there's a lot of technologies that apply today. But if you look up top, as you think about EMR, blockchain, the cloud, there's a lot of effort and discussion about trying to aggregate all this technology and, more importantly, the data. We believe that a robotic system can be the hub of that. So today, you're going to hear us talk about what has been the healthcare robotics market up to this point, and more importantly, where do we see it going, and where can TransEnterix and Senhance really help enable that? And we're excited about our place in that ecosystem. If you think about it a little bit just from a top line, the company, the Senhance surgical robot system, that is our product. We have a very big market that exists today and growing. We're going to talk to you a little bit about the growth dynamics of the market in general. We do have a system that is FDA-cleared and CE-mark cleared. There's a lot of discussion from up-and-coming companies about getting on the market, but we are commercially available around the world. Our commercial adoption continues to accelerate. I'm going to give you a little bit of that detail today. And we feel very well positioned in what we feel like are some of the emerging trends in robotic surgery, primarily augmented intelligence. And we find ourselves today in a strong financial position, for sure. So let's take a little snapshot of the company. We've changed quite a bit over the last few years since we've been presenting here. We uplisted to the New York Stock Exchange in 2014. Our year-over-year growth is over 230%. So we're excited about that. We're no longer a startup. We have over 200 employees worldwide. In the Q4 of 2018, we got some great recognition, both from Time Magazine and being on the Deloitte Top 500 Fastest-Growing Technology Companies in the U.S. And if you look at our global footprint, we continue to expand. Our headquarters in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. We have European headquarters in Lugano, Switzerland. We've built a beautiful customer experience center in Milan, Italy. We host a lot of prospective surgeons, administrators, and surgical staff from around the world there. We made a technology acquisition later in 2018 in Israel, and we're going to talk to you a little bit about that. And we've maintained our R&D center there, and we'll continue to have a presence there. As many of you know, Israel has a strong history and culture around medtech innovation, so we're excited to have a footprint there. And we also established an office in Tokyo, Japan, in 2018. So we are trying to take advantage of the growing robotics company, not only here in the U.S., but around the world. When we think about what is our strategic intent at TransEnterix, we think there's a lot of value if you can digitize the interface between the surgeon and the patient. In heart, that's what we want to do at TransEnterix. We think if you do that, you can increase control in a lot of different areas. And when you do that, you can reduce surgical variability. I think every time we implement technology in the healthcare field, you would like to take the wide variety of outcomes that exist today and really try to normalize that. And we feel like we can do that. And we're all going to have to do that in this value-based healthcare environment. There's so much discussion today about value-based healthcare. In the past, I think that was more of a hope. Today, it's really more expected. It's a demand. We have to be able, as companies in the healthcare environment, to be able to launch technologies without taking per-procedure cost up to be able to at least stay net neutral or lower those. And that's really what our goal is here at Transenterix. Now, the market itself is a big market. As you think about medtech, I think it's hard to find a market that's going to continue to grow at this rate. If you look at over $3 billion in sales in 2018, going to about $16 billion just in 4 years in 2023, that's nearly a 25% compounded annual growth rate. And you just don't find that much in medtech, so we're excited to be participating in that. Today, a couple dynamics exist. The robotic surgery penetration, although there's a lot of excitement about robotics, is still relatively low. We think some of the drivers of this growth over the coming years will be expansion into different procedures and specialties, which we're certainly focused on here at Transenterix. More global markets having access to affordable robotics, and certainly other companies entering into the fray, and we're glad to be front and center there. Really quickly, I want to outline what the robotics market landscape looks like today. If you take a look at these two circles, you have open surgery and laparoscopic surgery. Open surgery has been eclipsed by laparoscopic surgery because there's so many benefits from laparoscopic or minimally invasive surgery. But on the far left-hand side of this slide, you see that, you know, the current robotic market is less than 1 million procedures, so still relatively low penetrated, but it's all been pulled from open surgery primarily. Why is that? Because with open surgery, when you do convert an open case, which is a larger incision that's more invasive to the patient, you get a length of stay benefit. Typically, the patient is able to leave the hospital a day earlier, and that universal cost savings has helped to offset what has been a significant per procedure increase in the price for robotics. So when we think about the market, what we want to do with our Senhance surgery system, we really are focusing on the laparoscopic surgery market. That's a market that just in Europe and U.S. alone is over 6 million procedures. Primarily has not been a target of robotic conversion. So we think we've got some open field running there. And the benefits there, laparoscopy has a lot of room for improvement. We feel like our system can certainly increase precision, efficiency of the surgeon and the OR staff, safety, and then ergonomics for the surgeon. Any of you are familiar with laparoscopic surgery, it's very hard on the surgeon day in and day out, and we think we can elongate their career with technology. So one thing that we haven't talked about as much in the past is I'd like you to think about robotics or technology in general when it's applied to most industries outside of healthcare. Usually we all oftentimes think of automotive manufacturing. When robotics has been applied, efficiencies go up, certainly the variability is leveled out, and the workforce challenges of just the human capital required are alleviated. We don't see that as much in healthcare today. What we want to do with the Senhance system, you know, not only today but going forward, there's a lot of inefficiencies that exist in the operating room. There's certainly a lot of variability depending on where you go for your surgery around the country. We think that's because it's very human dependent. When you apply technology in the right ways, like other industries have, you can take a lot of that variability out. And from workforce challenges, there's predicted to be a 25,000 surgeon gap by 2030 in just over 10 years. Not as many people are going into surgery. So we have to have technologies that can alleviate some of the physical burdens of surgery and preserve these surgeons so they can elongate their career. We think we can definitely do that. So this is what we really feel like is the promise of technology that needs to be focused on. And that's what drives a lot of our decisions day in and day out. If you take a look at our system, here's a picture of it. On the bottom of this slide, you'll just see color-coded when you think about OR inefficiencies, surgical variability, and workforce challenges. Each one of our features and their corresponding benefits really addresses each one of those. If you look at 3 o'clock on this slide to the far right, we have an eye tracking system. So when surgeons are operating, wherever they look on the screen, the camera will follow. They no longer have to stop operating just to move the camera or ask someone else to move the camera. That really drives efficiency. It's very helpful, and it takes a frustration factor away from surgeons. And haptic feedback on the bottom of this slide, we're the first abdominal robotics company to provide sense of touch and sense of feel to the surgeon, and that's very important. It's a big part of their training, and up to now they've had to do without that with robotics. We believe if we put the sense of touch and feel back in the surgeon's hands, that's certainly going to drive less variability, more confidence in the surgeon, and each one of these features and their benefits do one of those three things. So it's just important for you to know that we really try to purpose build every one of our features to address one of these three issues that are a big problem in healthcare today. I want to show you a few videos because we are doing surgery. There's a lot of people talking about getting into robotics. We do it every day around the world. On the left-hand side, you see our advanced energy platform, the ultrasonic energy device. I want to remind everyone, we got approval of this in Europe in Q4 2018. This market alone, advanced energy, is over $4 billion. So the tools markets that go onto our robots are sometimes as exciting and lucrative as the robotic surgery market itself. This is a great device. It has very low thermal spread. Surgeons love it. Not a lot of smoke in the operating room theater. Next, this is showing a fluorescence technology. Imaging is getting a lot of attention these days in med tech. With our system, if you see that black and white in the middle of that screen, that's what they see today when they use current robotics. With fluorescence, we have an open platform, so we're able to take the latest version of Stryker's fluorescent camera from Novadaq, plug it right into the Senhance, and that is the beautiful colors they see when they operate with our system. We think it's a great step up, and we get great feedback from surgeons. If you take a look on the right, we've got a few different procedures we want to show you. The first is out of central Germany. It's a hernia procedure. That procedure right there requires a lot of haptic feedback. When you're dissecting tissue, when you're making that defect, you need to be able to feel the pressure you're applying on tissues for sure. Notice the operating room, sterile field, very clear of clutter. Our arms are pushed away from the patient, allowing that sterile field to be wide open and very easy to move around. This next procedure is a GYN procedure out of Italy. It's a great show of our bipolar instrumentation. You see the staff there. They're able to be relaxed and on call. They don't have as much to do, and the surgeon can control all three robotic arms simultaneously. And this last one is showing us get set up for a colorectal procedure over in Japan. So we continue to operate across all three continents on a regular basis. A couple highlights from our clinical adoption last year. We've now done nearly 30 different types of procedures, and that's pretty significant because most emerging robotic technologies are talking about one or two procedures that they want to go after. Our Senhance system has broad applicability across general surgery, colorectal, GYN, urology, thoracic, depending on the geography, and bariatric. So we're able to take most comers in surgery with our platform. We really feel like we're going to set a new standard in less invasive robotics by launching a 3-millimeter platform. Most robotics are 8 millimeters, so that makes a larger hole in the patient, takes longer for return to normal activity, and that's not good for the patient. We are getting a lot of excitement globally about a true 3-millimeter platform across the majority of our instruments. As we've talked about, we offer haptic feedback, which we're we get great feedback from our surgeons on. They just feel safer when they're able to feel the tissue they're interacting with. So a lot of positives as far as our clinical progress and adoption over the last year. As we think about our constituents, we really break it down into the patients, surgeons, the surgical team, and the hospital. If you take a look at patients, we all have to be focused on how is our technology helping patients. Certainly, as we talked about with 3-millimeter, patients are coming out of our robotic surgery with little to no pain. There are now sometimes some of our surgeons are thinking about not prescribing post-op pain medication, which is the majority of the opportunity people get first exposed to opioids. So if you can have a 3-millimeter robotic platform with haptic feedback, we feel like we can move away from a lot of the opioid prescriptions post-surgery, which is a big deal. We're excited about that. From the surgeon standpoint, they love that they can control their own vision with our system. They don't have to ask someone to move the camera or stop operating to move. That drives a lot more satisfaction when they're working with our system. They love being able to sit down, take a load off their feet, not being put in a compromised physical position that over a long surgery day and over a long surgery year and career can really wear on a surgeon. We hear surgeons constantly saying they think they can elongate their career with our technology, which they're excited about. And since our system is based on laparoscopic surgery, there's millions of laparoscopic procedures done every year, so we found that our learning curve is quite low because it's a very familiar setup when surgeons first interface with the system. Surgical team is vital. A lot of people don't talk about the surgical team. They are the engine that makes things go in the OR. Our system is very easy to set up. Our clinical data out of Europe says, on average, we're getting to 7 minutes or less to set up, so we're not adding any inefficiency there in the OR. It's easy to turn the system over and get ready for the next procedure. And the hospital staff loves that we take systems that they're already familiar with, like video camera systems, and you can plug them right into the Senhance. They don't have to get used to any new technology all the way across the board. And then lastly, hospital executives are very excited that our cost per procedure is about 75% lower than current robotics. That makes a big difference. I will remind you that there is no current reimbursement for robotics. We're using laparoscopic reimbursement codes, so you can't bring a technology and expect them to pay four or five times more than they're paying laparoscopically today. We try to be at par with laparoscopic per procedure cost, and that's a big positive. So if you think about where robotics is, where it's going, if you look at the far left, really, robotics has been relegated to manipulation. The surgeon sits at a console. There's a handle there. It's a master-slave relationship. They move their hands, and arms move concurrently. We think robotics can be so much more. We have introduced open architecture platforms, so we can take the majority of the leading vision systems today, plug them right into the Senhance. They can leverage a current investment that the hospital already has, and that's a physician preference item. They love to use the camera they want to use. We can do that today. We're going to talk to you on the next slide what we mean by intelligent scene cognition and augmented intelligence, but we've made an acquisition in the Q4 of 2018 of some technology out of Israel, where instead of a surgeon just simply having to see the video and watching the surgery, it can start giving them some information. Just like with most of our vehicles, when you back up, there's a camera showing you what you're backing up against. If you're getting ready to hit something, it can apply the brakes. We need to have that same kind of safety mechanisms in the operating room. Set up no-fly zones so they're not putting their instruments near tissue if it's not supposed to be. Not having their instruments collide, which happens quite often. That's all technology that we can bring to bear. And then the last wave of robotics in the coming years will really be connectivity. There's a lot of companies trying to connect many things going on in the operating room and the hospital environment as a whole. We think if you actually are doing surgery with a robot, you have really a power base there with the computers that capture and can generate a lot of data, and you really can connect in with many of the other things that are being used in the OR. So we think we're in the early days of robotics. We're excited to kind of lead some of the next generation technologies. And let's take a look at this one video here on the top left. Believe it or not, today when they have to measure within the OR inside the patient, they oftentimes drop a sterile tape measure in, hold it up with their instrument so they can understand the measurement. But most of us are used to our smartphones. We can drop a pin wherever we are, do different measurements, order vehicles. We can now do that with this technology that we've acquired. You see that your instruments can spread out between a certain area and give you a digital measurement right away. One of the fastest applications of this is when you have a hernia, you're trying to close the defect, you need to measure that defect, cut your mesh in the exact shape so you can put it in there. We can now digitally measure that video shows you. And then on the bottom, we can take preoperative analytics or diagnostics or during the surgery, and we can do overlays. So in this particular scene, you're seeing that there's a bifurcated structure underneath that fat pad. Make sure when you're dissecting there, you know there's some high-value real estate right under that. You don't want to get into that. And these are technologies that, as the first bullet says, when you can take image-based analytics and augmented intelligence, we think that's really the promise of robotic surgery, and we're leading directly into that for sure. Turning a little bit to our portfolio, we are aggressive with our IP and patent action. This shows you over the last 3 years some of the applications that we filed, and on the bottom, actual total patents in the portfolio. We have over 130 patents now in our current portfolio, and that covers everything from our haptic feedback, the eye tracking camera control, image analytics, augmented intelligence, and certainly a multi-port laparoscopic robotics. So from a defensive and offensive standpoint, we feel very good about our patent estate. Getting on to some of the commercial results, we pre-announced our fourth quarter this morning. We're very pleased to say that we feel like the commercial adoption continues to grow in the right direction. Here it shows you when we just started in 2016, we were at $1.5 million in sales. 2017, 7.1. In 2018, we're going to come in right about $24 million. So any way you look at that data, that is the right trends, and we're excited that that has come from really around the world. A quick snapshot of our 2018 revenue, 230%+ increase over prior year. Our balance sheet we feel good about. We're going to end the year with over $70 million, $30 million debt. So we feel like we're in a good, strong financial position to execute on our near-term and mid-term milestones. Just geographically, we are active in the Americas, EMEA, and Asia. We have direct sales teams, although focused, small teams. We don't have very big teams, but we're being very effective with the resources we do have on the commercial side. Certainly, we are trying to get direct in some of the largest metropolitan areas, both in the United States and outside. And we're excited about what's going on in Asia. We just announced that we got approval in Taiwan, very important market for us, and we're already moving forward with our commercial adoption there and continue to build out our regulatory efforts in Japan. So many people talk to us about robotic market, and as they continue to learn more, they're always impressed that robotics is so much more than a product. When many of you follow MedTech and you see a company, they work really hard, they work on a product, they try to get IP, they try to get regulatory, then they get approval and they launch it. With robotics, it's truly a platform technology. A lot of people want to say they have a platform technology, but when you get your robot approved, the work is really just beginning, and we wanted to make sure you had a quick snapshot look back at just our last 3 years to show you not only our robots have been approved and been sold, but what else have we done around that whole ecosystem? What products have we put on the robot to enable more procedures, more applications? Well, we started in 2016. We started building up our team in the EMEA region, made our first sale in the latter part of 2016. We just hired a general manager in early 17 and started building out our commercial team, and we built a beautiful commercial experience center in Milan, Italy, which would love to have any of you visit when you're over in Europe. It's quite impressive. Then you turn to 2017. One of the big catalysts for us is we did get FDA clearance, which is always a big milestone for any company in medtech, especially in robotics. We began to build out our commercial team primarily on the east coast of the U.S., close to our headquarters in North Carolina, and started building out from there. We started right then and there saying Asia Pacific was going to be important for us. We started making moves on the regulatory side in Japan and Taiwan, and we're excited about our progress there. We got 3-millimeter instruments. We talked a lot about them, but people weren't sure if we could get them approved, and we certainly did. They've been received very well. We received our CE mark and began launching those in Europe. And many of you remember our SurgiBot. We're excited about SurgiBot. We struck a deal with a partner in China, and that was very good for the company and a positive step for that technology for future for us and the partner. And then we started incorporating many different leading vision systems into the robot. And then in 2018, just a quick look, we've expanded our indications past our original GYN and colorectal. We brought 3-millimeter instruments to the U.S. We continue to bring more and more of our basic instruments with 510K approvals. We've got approval and launched our advanced energy in Europe. We've filed here in the U.S. We're excited about articulating instruments. They got approved in Europe, and they're filed here in the U.S. We began our clinical adoption in both U.S. and Japan, and we added more vision systems that work with the system. So you'll see that being able to launch a robot is broad efforts. We're excited about that, and I would just end up with our last slide. I think we're just in the first inning of robotics. I think many people are going to be seeing us lead the way in many of the real promise of robotics. So thank you for joining us today. Been asked to say our next speaker is the chairman and CEO of JP Morgan, Jamie Dimon. So please stay on for that. Thank you for your time today. Good day.